All right, gentlemen, you're welcome to have a seat. Will somebody please get the lights for me back in that left-hand corner, my left, your right? For those of you that have not found a seat, again, if there's open seats at your table, raise your hand so some of these guys in the back can find a seat. There's some over here on my right, your left. All right. Well, gentlemen, we spoke earlier about that course, Live Life Discipleship, and this month we have a special treat. We have a gentleman who's actually one of the instructors from that program. His name is Rick Mandeville, a military man. He's been serving here at Calvary for quite some time, a respected brother. He's going to be doing the teaching this morning, so why don't you welcome my brother Rick.
Good morning. Would you join me, if you have your Bibles this morning, would you join me in John chapter 16? That's the Gospel of John chapter 16. Give you a minute to get there. We'll bathe this thing one more time in prayer once you get there. John chapter 16. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing. Would you pray with me, please? So Heavenly Father, we come to you now, Father. Father, we surrender, Lord. We give it all to you. Father, would you put a hedge around this place? Would you begin to move us and to speak to us, Father? And may the Holy Spirit be free to work in our hearts, Father. We invite Him here this morning. Father, would you teach us now in Jesus' name? Amen. So how many of you were out at Easter Sunday? I always have a stumble over that one. Easter sunrise service. There it is. Good. And how many of you were at the services here at Calvary later? Good. All right. Good. So you guys are familiar then with where we're going to jump off into this lesson this morning. This morning I'm hoping to refresh our memories a little bit concerning what we were shown in that message. And then use that content to jump into this morning's teaching. So I know it's been a couple of weeks ago, and we've all slept since then. But Pastor Skip spoke on Sunday morning, that Sunday morning, from John 16, where I've asked you. And his context was verses 16 all the way through 33, and that's a lot of content to cover. So we're not going to read all that this morning. But just as an overview, in that content, in that passage, we see Jesus in conversation with his disciples and his disciple concerning the plain fact that he was about to leave them for a time. But he also, in that same passage, he promises that he'll be back. And he likens what he's telling them. He likens it to the events that were about to occur. He likens that to a woman in labor pains about to give birth. And he promises that because he has overcome the world, that we can also be overcomers through him. So from the content of this conversation recorded for us by the Apostle John, Pastor Skip pointed out three attributes, and these are important this morning. Three attributes that are to color the lives of believers. First of all, Jesus' death and resurrection provides for the believer a living hope. Living hope. Our salvation through faith in this crucified and resurrected Jesus, provides for us a lasting joy. And the fact that in spite of the adversities that we often face in life, believers are already overcomers through Christ, who gives to us lingering peace, peace that surpasses human understanding. But hang on a second here. Did you ever get the impression that maybe we aren't quite understanding all it is that our God is saying to us? And we, along with those disciples, we struggle to see the truth that God has revealed to us? Now, we're going to read a short portion of this passage. I want you to join me. We're going to be in John 16. We're going to read verses 23 through 27. Now, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. So this may not exactly line up word for word with what you're reading from this morning, but I want you to listen for the concepts. Listen for the ideas, okay? So here's Jesus speaking to his disciples. He tells them, "At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. The truth is, you can go directly to the Father and ask him, and he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask, using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. I have spoken of these matters in parables, but the time will come when this will not be necessary, and I will tell you plainly all about the Father. Then you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you dearly, because you love me and believe that I came from God. So if you'll hold that passage, the thoughts of that passage, and mentally we just want to look back at what did we overview. And the passage that precedes this, these several sentences that we just read, until now Jesus has been talking or telling his disciples ahead of time what is about to transpire in the next few days. Their world is about to be turned upside down. And he's telling them before it happens so that they might believe, and believing, they might find living hope, lasting joy, and lingering peace. This is what he's been offering them. But this portion of the conversation, which we have just read, seemed to go right over their heads. It was as if they entered those days without any idea of what's next, much less understanding what Jesus was about to do for them. But where does that leave us this morning, men? Listen, this is important. God wants to lead you into the future as well. Look at verse 33. Again, I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation, so it may not line up word for word, but listen for the concept. Jesus speaking to us, But I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. And indeed, what difficulty is ours as we attempt to hear and to understand and to apply God's truth in our lives? It is exactly as Jesus said. In this earth, we have trials and sorrows. And in our lives, we are set on a journey of discovery. And for a couple of minutes this morning, I want to share with you what has been my own journey of discovery in this life. Now, I need to preface this. You need to understand something about this. I'm nothing special. I'm as plain Jane as they come. But the one thing I want you to remember as I tell you this story of my life, I serve a great God. And so this journey, this then is the journey through which God has brought me to this morning. See, I grew up in the church. I can remember the Sunday school teachers and teaching and bringing to my understanding the power of God and the love of God and the caring and the grace and the mercy. I remember those things, and I remember hearing the pastor teaching and the conviction of God that was coming over me even as a boy, understanding that if I didn't accept Christ as my Savior, that I was indeed lost. And I remember a day that I bowed my knee before that God and I asked him to be my Savior. And you know, in those years of my young years growing up, as I heard the messages, I knew the stories. It was enough. But as I grew into those teenage years, when all of a sudden now the pressures of life began to change on me, I lacked the depth of understanding that was necessary to really put it into practice. And the problem was that there was no discipleship. I knew all about the what, but I didn't have a clue about the how. Well, as I grew up and as I came to manhood, I joined the Air Force, and I spent a lot of time working very hard trying to discover and understand and live by God's Word. The problem was I followed my own intuition, the way I understood it. And I was working very hard, but you know what? My walk lacked a consistent Bible study. My prayer life was weak. And meditation on God's Word? I didn't even have a clue what that meant. Over the years, as the Air Force moved me from station to station, I served in many capacities in many churches. But the consistent thing that marked my life all along the way, though most people wouldn't have recognized it, was that God's power was lacking in my life and in my service. And my life was this constant high, low fluctuation based on what my strength could provide. I tried so hard. I worked at it really hard. But there came a day that my good works just plain old ran out of steam. And I found myself in a place of brokenness and sidelined by the ultimate insult of divorce. Those were indeed dark, dark days. But you know what? By the grace of God, I decided that, you know what, God, I don't care if you kill me. If you kill me, I'm going to follow you. I'm not going to turn away. There are no other answers. Again, it was the grace of God. And God began for several years to do a restorative work made possible because I finally came to a place that I got quiet before God. I finally slowed down long enough to listen to what He was telling me. And you know, the funny thing was, and men, don't we do this? I mean, well, this is what I've always done, and so this is what I continue to follow, right? And so I still was mixing my works in and trying to do this thing on my own and trying to stand because I'm strong and I'm disciplined and I can do this. But my life was marked by this on again, off again relationship thing, and I'm trying and I'm struggling and it's not working, God. And I finally came to a day. I was so irritated. I cried out to God and I said, God, if you don't make this change in me, I'm done. I can't go on like this. And God began again to quiet me. He began to set me down and quiet me on the side. And He began to teach me. And He began to show me who He was. And you know, I don't remember exactly a sequence of steps that led up to it. But there came a day as I was pursuing God and He was teaching me, that God, one day He revealed what He had been doing in my life as I heard a speaker unfold Isaiah chapter 6. Now don't turn there, but there are actually five things that happened to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 verses 1 through 9. First of all, Isaiah saw God for who He really is, that holy, righteous, omnipotent, omniscient God that He is. And when he saw God for who He was, the first words out of his mouth, he realized who he was because of who God is. And he said this, "Woe is me, I'm undone." The second thing that happened to him was he began to realize the world around him for the condition that they're in. And he said, "I live in the midst of an unclean or people of unclean lips." And then you see a little bit further, this transformation that takes place in Isaiah's heart and mind in an instant. And as Isaiah stood before the Lord, he then began to hear the voice of God speaking to him. And he said this, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." And as God began to draw parallels between my own life and what was happening in my heart to Isaiah, I began to hear that voice of the Holy Spirit in my heart saying, "Rick, whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I heard my voice saying, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And what has been the change? What has been the transformation? What's the result? God's been teaching me this. "Rick, I'll use you. Son, it's not about you." I'm going to tell you one story to illustrate what I'm talking about. And I want to preface this very much with, I serve a great God. This is what God did. How many of you have served in the military? I know we asked this question a while ago. So those of you who are my brothers that served in the Navy, you know what a command master chief is, right? Okay. Army, Marine Corps, command sergeant major, right? Air Force, Command Chief Master Sergeant, right? This is the top enlisted rank in whatever branch you're in, right? Actually, it's not a rank, it's a position. So there came a day when God, through His grace, He had blessed me, and as I had begun to follow Him, He had begun to lift me up, and I had achieved the rank of Chief Master Sergeant, which is the top enlisted rank in the military. Well, E9 in the military, right? And in my command structure, we had two command chiefs, one for the state level and one for the wing level. And the wing level command chief retired, and so they put out a call for all chiefs to, if you're interested, to apply. And I thought, you know what? I know the politics already. I'm not going to apply. Forget that noise. I already know who's going to be selected. And God said, Rick, you fill out that application and you submit it. And I thought, I thought to argue with God. Right? Come on, God. You know who's going to get picked. You know it as well as I do. Come on. He said, Rick, I didn't tell you you were going to get selected. I told you, obey me. Just do this. Okay, God, I filled out my application. I sent it, went through the process. The guy that I thought was going to get selected got selected. No big deal. I'm about my business, right? It wasn't, not even 2 weeks later, the other command chief decided time to retire. They put out the call once again. I said, got it, God. I know exactly what you're doing. Am I alone with that idea? Anybody else ever do this? No problem, God. Let me just make a couple of tweaks and I'll submit my package. And God said, Rick, no. No, you won't. And I said, come on, God. Be reasonable. I've already done the work. Right? I'm not alone, right? And God said, Rick, I didn't ask you to understand it. I asked you to obey me. Okay, God. And listen, trying to help non-believers to understand that you didn't apply because God said no. I don't know what color of green they thought I was, but they knew I wasn't from this planet. I tried to tell them that I don't think I could put this in language that you're going to understand, but okay, here goes. God said no. So anyway, it wasn't 2 days later. I got a phone call one evening. Command chief that was retiring said, Rick, I'm sitting here with the adjutant general for the state of New Mexico, and he wants to know if you would be interested in becoming the wing command chief. I said, you know, Dave, I need to pray about this. He says, you know what? Do whatever you got to do, but in the morning at 9:30, we have an appointment with the man so you can accept this position. And you know, I hung up that phone, and immediately in my heart, I heard the Holy Spirit say this. You know what, Rick? If you would have put in that application, you could stick out your chest and you could say, look what I did. Who gets the glory now? And you know what? This is exactly what God has continued. I retired 3 years ago, and this is exactly what God has continued to do in my life. God gives me things that scare me half to death. I don't know how. This is, look, me standing up here in front of you guys, talking to you about things of God. This is, let one of these good brothers do this. But you know what God said? He said, Rick, I give it to you because I know you can't do it. You have to rely on me. And oh, by the way, when I've done it through you, guess who gets the glory? And you might be saying to yourself, you know what, Rick? Yeah, right. Nice story. I understand what you're saying, but I have to tell you, that's not me. I don't even know how I would start such a thing. Let me help you with that. This is our second scripture that we're going to go to. Go to James chapter 1 with me, would you please? We all start at the same place, folks. So as we go to James chapter 1, we're going to look at two verses, or actually three verses, 22 through 25. Again, I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation, and so if the words may not exactly match up, but listen for the content, listen for the context. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25 says this, and pay attention to this, and remember, it is a message to obey, not just to listen to. If you don't obey, you're only fooling yourself. For if you just listen and don't obey, it's like looking at your own face in a mirror, but doing nothing to improve your appearance. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you keep looking steadily into God's perfect law, the law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Men, this morning, can I ask you this question? What's next for you? Where are you going from here? I mean, we're in the midst of a series of messages on the weekends entitled, What's Next? And so I'm asking you, look around you at the opportunities that God has set before you and consider, what is it that God is saying to you this morning? I want you just to think back momentarily. You remember the passage that we read from John chapter 16? I just want you to think back about what it was that God said. You can call directly on God through Jesus because He loves you dearly, right? Do you not understand that God Himself is desiring this relationship with you? The God that created this universe is longing to hear your prayers and to answer them. Perhaps you're thinking to yourself this morning, okay, so it can be done, but how do I come to this place of living hope and lasting joy and lingering peace that was spoken of by Jesus? I'm so glad you asked that question. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. I promise you this is the last passage of Bible that we'll go to. Jeremiah chapter 29. We're going to look at three verses. We're going to look at two of them first, so stay with me. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 and 12. Passages that we're all pretty familiar with, but maybe we'll see something just a little bit deeper today. I'm going to read this from the New King James Version, so this will probably match up with more of what you're reading. Okay, so here we go. Jeremiah 29, 11 and 12. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And isn't that what we're all longing for? To be in God's thoughts, Him looking out for our future, giving to us hope. And we also can see there that God's desire to answer our prayers is predicated on nothing more than that developing relationship. But excuse me, does it occur to anybody else that that's kind of an open-ended place to stop that thought? It seems to me. Look at verse 13. Here we finish the thought. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Four most important words in that passage. With all your heart. When God showed me that, He nailed me to the chair I was sitting in. I said, God, I'm not even sure I know what that means. I thought I was seeking you with all my heart. But then God began to demonstrate to me what the difference was. Now watch. Stay with me on this. And we're not going to use the Bible from here on. This is just illustration. So you can set it down and pay attention, right? The average man, the average human being, not an athlete, just the average guy. can hold your breath for a minute. And when God showed me that, I thought, well, you know what? I could do that. Let me try it. So I tried it. And you know what? I could hold my breath for a minute. And at the end of a minute, yeah, you know what? My lungs were kind of burning a little bit. And you know what? I was interested to take a breath again. God said, yeah, Rick, suppose you could go too. Poke in the eye. I was like, you know what? I'm a pretty disciplined guy. You know what? I think I could gut two of them out. So you know what I did? I went for it. And you know what? I made 2 minutes. But I noticed something really different at the end of 2 minutes. My lungs weren't just kind of like sort of burning. I felt like somebody poured hot wax in my lungs. And I wasn't interested to take that breath again. I was focused on breathing again. So, you know what? If you're well, we're going to try this morning. I'll time you. I'm teasing. A couple of the young ones, they were already going for it. Yeah. No, I'm just teasing. We're not going to do this. But watch. God said to me this, Rick, what about 3? Like, God, is this going to stop? Okay, let me try 3. Well, you know what? I didn't quite make it all the way to the end of 3. But I got close. And you know what I found out as that third minute was coming to an end? I felt like somebody had lit a fire inside of me. My muscles were tingling. And you know what? I wasn't interested to breathe again. I wasn't just focused on breathing again. There was no other thought in my mind. I wanted that breath of air. And as soon as that thought cleared my mind, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart this way. And Rick, when your conscious desire to breathe me in becomes as overwhelming as your instinct to breathe in that life-giving air following a 3-minute breath hold, you will search for me with all your heart. I had to sit back for a minute. I had to think about that. I'm still thinking about that. But you know what, men? This morning, this lands us at a crossroads. We're at a Y junction this morning. Here's what I mean. God so longs to bless your life. But where are you in your relationship with Him this morning? Are you interested in it? Are you focused on it? Or are you seeking it with all your heart? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we give this teaching to You and we bring it to You as an offering of praise, Father. You are a great God. And Father, would You teach us this morning? Father, as we discuss these things, would You open our hearts and our minds and teach us? Father, please just don't leave us where we are. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Rick. Great message.